I believe it's going to minister to us. And I want you to pray for me. Then I want to pray for you. Would you stretch your hands out and pray for me? Father, I receive the prayers of the saints now, Lord. I ask for an anointing. I ask, Lord God, that I can share your word. Father, I agree with their prayers that the things I say will be truth. And Lord, I ask that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth will be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I put your hand on your heart. Let me pray for you. Father, may the seed of the sower go forth and fall in good soil and bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Father, may the things that come forth be from you. And Lord, that we meditate on these things day and night. Lord, that we mark our mind with them. We mark our hands with them. And Lord God, we go about doing your will. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you will, look with me in your scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hope you have your Bibles. You should always carry your Bibles to church. Go into First Methodist tonight. Bring your Bibles. Bring them Monday night. Bring them Tuesday night. Bring them Wednesday night. This particular message came to me several weeks back as I'm studying. I'm really involved in the table of the Lord. And as I was studying and looking at it, a thought came to me of how simple things of God are. And all of a sudden, I just felt that I really needed to minister about the simplicity of Christ. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 1 through verse 4, and then we'll talk about it. I'm going to be reading today from the King James Bible, but just simply because it puts what I feel that the Lord wants to say to us, to this body. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I want you to say that back to me, the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's say it together. The simplicity that is in Christ. Once more, please. The simplicity that is in Christ. And now I want us to note, as I continue reading, the next three points that the apostle makes here. For if he that cometh preacheth, point number one, another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive, number two, another spirit, which ye have not received, or, number three, another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul is telling this church at Corinth that there's a lot of people coming through. There's a lot of people calling themselves ministries and teachers. And they come through and they teach a Jesus. They teach a spirit. They teach a gospel. But it's not the same as he teaches. And he says, and you have bared well with them. You have received them. You have accepted what they have been telling you. And he says, I'm afraid that that's seducing you. That's bringing a serpent in to beguile you. And another point before I move on. He says up there, he says that I have a godly jealousy. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is jealous for his church. He loves his church. It was for his church that he died. He loves his church. And Paul here, going back to creation, puts himself in a place of creation. He says, I feel like I created you, or I espoused you, and that I gave you to Jesus, to Mary, and that you're being beguiled, just as it was in creation. Just as it was at old with Eve. And he says, you're hearing another Jesus, you're hearing another spirit, you're hearing another gospel. Upon that, I want to ask you a question. And I don't want a response, I just want you to ponder this today, and I hope for the rest of our lives. How many of us, here's my question, how many of us truly enjoy being a Christian. And what I mean by when I say truly enjoy being a Christian, I mean like, and you relish it, you delight in it. You love doing what Christians do, or what Christians biblically are supposed to do. And I'll give you a list so that you can kind of see what I'm trying to say. You love communion. You love the table of the Lord. You love the body of Christ, and you love doing it. You love coming in and having responsive readings or common confessions. You love public reading of scriptures, as we do here on Sunday nights. We have public reading of scriptures. We come and we read a whole passage, possibly a whole chapter. We confess what we believe every Sunday morning. We have communion every Sunday. We sometimes have, on Sunday nights, we have a special communion service. Do you love these things? Do you truly enjoy these things? Do you relish them? Do you look forward to them? Do you enjoy the praise and the worship? Do you look forward to coming to the house of the Lord and praising God? As we were praising the Lord today, I was thinking that we really do have praise service. You go some places and they call it a praise service or a worship service, and it really isn't. You know, you may sing a song, but you're not really coming into a praise. And here we want to praise the Lord. Do you enjoy praising the Lord? Do you relish it? Do you look forward to it? Do you enjoy worship? Do you enjoy giving? Do you look forward to the time to give? Do you enjoy, do you relish, do you look forward to the care groups, the times of fellowshipping that we have? Do you relish them? Do you love to pray for people? When we have times of prayer, where we're ministering to people, do you relish, do you enjoy, do you do it with an excitement that you're going to get to pray for somebody rather than I've got to go pray for somebody? Do you enjoy being a Christian? All of these are biblical acts that biblical Christians do. And they're a part of us that we should just flow into and look forward to and be excited about getting to do them. If you're not, if those things aren't an exciting thing to you, if those things that I've mentioned aren't relished, enjoyed, if you're not one that wants to do these things, then what I'm wanting to suggest to us today and say that all probability is happening in your life or has happened is that somewhere along the way you have been preached another Jesus. Somewhere along the way you have been transferred another spirit. Somewhere along the way you have heard another gospel. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. But what I am saying is that without those things being relished in the body of Christ, without those things being relished in this house of the Lord and in the corporate body of Christ in our area, I really don't believe that we'll ever see mass evangelism. Unless we love the things of God and love doing the things of God and project it as fun and exciting and loving to do it, then I don't think that we'll ever have much of an effect on our area, on our community. We'll keep doing what we've been doing. Can you hear what I'm trying to communicate? The things of the Lord are simple. This word here, simplicity, is used 8 times in the New Testament Greek. I believe the NIV Bible translates it in this particular passage as single. It's used 8 times, and it's translated in 4 or 5 different ways. And 3 times it's translated as simplicity, twice as singleness, once as liberty, once as bountifulness, once as liberal. The word itself means singleness, sincerity, without self-seeking, generosity. It's this word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 9 where he's talking about giving, and he says, if you sow bountifully, if you sow simply, if you sow singly, you shall also reap bountifully, simply, singly. He says it's this word that he uses for giving liberally. If we give liberally, he wants us to give liberally. For God loves a cheerful giver. And it's this thought that Paul is coming across here with. Serving the Lord should always be simple. Single. Loving the Lord and serving the Lord and doing what Christians do should never be burdensome or complicated. They should be single. Not complicated. Sincere. Not deceitful. And generous. Never selfish. And when we enter into a mentality, when you or I or this body enters into a mentality of self-seeking, of selfishness, of confusion, then what we're doing is we're preaching another Jesus. We're being moved by another spirit, and we're listening to another gospel. Paul uses the thought here of creation, and he says it's like the time when God created Eve for Adam, and he espoused her to him as a chaste virgin. He says, that's what I have done with you. I've created you. I've created this church, and I have espoused you to the Lord Jesus as a chaste virgin. He says, but as the devil, as the serpent beguiled her, tricked her, he says, I think that same thing's happening to you. Where it should be simple, it's suddenly not simple. How simple were things in the garden? How many rules did they have? One rule. What was it? Don't eat the tree of the knowledge, good or evil. That was the only rule they had. Simple. Jesus came, and he brought to us an abundant life. What is his rules? If you went to him and you said, Lord, tell me, what have I got to do? Love God, love people. Hang everything else on that. Simple. How many says that's simple? Love God, love people. Jesus came to give us life and that how? Abundantly. Life and that more abundantly. The word means superabundant. It means through and around. Our life through this walk of Christianity should be abounding, abundant. Through it, around us. Everything that we touch and minister to or touches us should abound. Jesus came to take all the complications out of it. Make it simple. As you study the scriptures and the New Testament, especially the epistles, you find that there were two distinct extremes. One was legalism. Paul battled legalism. And in Philippians chapter 3, he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the false circumcision. Beware of these. They're trying to put you back under legalism. The other extreme, Paul also battled, and this is basically what he's addressing here with the Corinthians. But Jude makes it very clear. The other extreme was license. In the book of Jude, Jude writes this. He says, they enter into your love feast, your agape feast, and they change the grace of God into what? Licentiousness, license. They change the grace of God into sin. You go to churches today. You'll go to one church, and they'll say, you got to dress this certain way. You got to act this certain way. You got to do it this way. You can do this, and you can't do that. Both the cans and the can'ts are legalisms. You understand that. You go to another church, and they say, we don't care what you do as long as you pay your tithe. Am I right? And what Paul says here, he's not getting after these for being legalistic. How many of you know the Corinthians were not legalistic? From the very initiation of 1 Corinthians to the end of 2 Corinthians, their problem is Christian license. And that's what he's really dealing with here. Christian license, taking the grace of God and changing it into sin. And he says, you got to stay in the middle. There's a place in the middle. It's a narrow place. It's a straight place. It's not complicated. Jesus said the gate is what? Narrow. And the way is straight. It's not complicated. It's not a whole lot of different avenues. It should be simple. Preachers have problems. I have problems. In our zeal sometimes to share a truth that we want our body to move into, we tend sometimes to move over to a legalistic that they got to do this. And then when we try to balance it sometimes, we move over to the other side where it sounds like we're being very licensed. Have you ever tried to stand on a seesaw in the middle? And in balancing that thing, you're constantly going back and forwards. It's sort of that way when you preach the word. And you're constantly leaning to one side or the other side, it appears. And so one reason that I want to bring this today is so that you'll try to see that I am aware of what I'm supposed to be, of where I'm supposed to be, and how it's supposed to be. I'm aware of it. It just sounds like I'm not sometimes. So you have that then, you have this now, and this is where we are. It should be simple. It should be single. It should be a bountiful thing. It should be a liberated thing. How simple should it be? How simple should being a Christian really be? I think probably the best way to share this thought is by looking at another faith, and you can look at any of them, but the one that I want to share with you, because we're very familiar with this one, is the Jewish faith, or the Judea faith. I think if I can communicate this to us, then we'll understand what I'm trying to bring us and let us see today about our simplicity in Christ. The Jewish religion is boggled with complexity. It is the most complicated thing you'll ever try to understand. For example, they have five offerings. The sin offering, the burnt offering, the meat or grain offering, the peace offering, and the guilt offering. And all of these offerings come, and the animal had to be dissected in different ways. You had to know what to do with the hide. You had to know what to do with the head. You had to know what to do with the kidneys. You had to know what to do with the liver. You had to know what to do with the blood. And if you didn't do it right, then you were missing the instructions of the Lord. And out of these five burst several others. How many offerings do we have in Christianity? One. And it's already been done. Am I right? How simple can it be? Another thought is their feast. They have three major feasts. These feasts last approximately a week apiece. But involved in these feasts were special foods that you could or you could not eat. Special ceremonies, special things you had to say. How many feasts do we have? How many? One. The table of the Lord. Is this simple or what? You don't have to worry about it. He says, don't just do this on Easter. Do this when? As often as you will. The simplicity of Christ. The ceremonies they went through. For example, the Passover feast has, I think, 16 different parts that the presider would take the people through. 16 different parts, aspects of it. 16 elements. When you have the table of the Lord, how many elements are there? Two. What are they? The bread and the fruit of the vine. That's it. This is my body. This is my blood. What I'm wanting us to see, and you're getting it now, because I can sense that you're getting it, there's a simplicity that should just come in the body of Christ, that should come in the church, and what we preachers do, and what we people that are zealous and love the Lord God, and we love the Lord God, but what we end up doing is putting all of these bounds on people, all these, we bound people up with things you can and can't do. How about the food laws? You had to know what was clean and what was unclean. Clean being kosher. And you couldn't eat the other stuff. What did Jesus say? Not what goes in your mouth that defiles the man. Peter saw the sheep coming down. You know what was in that sheep? Chitlin was in that sheep. That's right. And it wasn't until the Gentiles learned how to eat chitlins that they could get the Holy Ghost. All things are clean. And Paul said, when it's received with thanksgiving, and then you sanctify it by the word and prayer. The Jewish religion and any of the other cult religions become so complicated? Anything, Jesus came and he says, I come to give you life. Not all kind of boundaries. He says, I come to set the captives what? Free! To set at liberty those that are oppressed. And all that religion has succeeded in doing throughout the years is putting people in bondage. Another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. How simple is salvation in Christianity? How do we have to offer bulls and goats and sprinkle the ashes of a heifer? No. The day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They come to Peter and they said, Peter, what must we do? Peter says, simple. That's what Peter said. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Be baptized every one of you. Baptism was important to Peter. Baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many things you got to do? That's it. That's all there is. Paul says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it works salvation into you. How simple Christianity is. New Testament organized church. How simple is it? It's made up of three basic parts. Elders, deacons, and saints. And you don't have to be in the Levitical priesthood. You don't have to be my son to be an elder or a deacon or a saint here. We're under the order of what? Melchizedek, who had no beginning and no ending. Jesus says it's not that the order that makes you great in the kingdom of God. What makes you great in the kingdom of God? To be a servant of all. See, in the Levitical thing, you had to be born a Levite. Your daddy had to be a Levite. Your mama had to be a Levite. It becomes simple. What is the purpose of the church? Is the purpose of the church simple? Ephesians 3:10 says it is. To the intent, this is the intent for the church, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. All the church is supposed to do is think right. Be the wisdom of God in the earth. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it simple? Paul says he preached to them the gospel in 1 Corinthians. These guys who we're talking about, he says, I preached to you the gospel. Number one, that Christ died for our sins. Number two, he was buried and rose again, and he was seen by many. And then number three, that he ascended and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Is that simple or what? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anything else that we add to that is philosophies. And many of them are vain. And what did he do with vain philosophies? He nailed them to his cross. And he made it simple. Table of the Lord is simple. We've talked about that. How about giving? Is giving simple? Sure is. You just do it happily. God loves a cheerful giver. You do it bountifully. Everything in Christianity is simple. And the point that I'm trying to make is that whatever we do in Christianity should be simple or single. There should not be a complexity to it. It should be bountiful. We should do it. Whatever that we put our hand to do, how should we do it? With all of our heart. We need to learn how to do it with liberality, liberal, not self-seeking. This is the way that we're to be Christians. And if you're not experiencing this, and please hear me, and I believe you are. This is not a whipping post message. But if you don't enjoy doing the things that are biblical, that biblical Christians do, somewhere along the way, you either were under a very legalistic minister, and he taught you very legalistically the things, and you're bound by them, or you were under a very liberal minister, a licensed minister, and he puts you in a lot of license and you can't do because you want to sin. You got that spirit or you got that spirit. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is very simple. And what I'm trying to do today is just bring us into this balanced place. It's not a whipping post message. I'm wanting to bring it to a place that you won't be condemned, but that you will be able to evaluate your life and what you are putting into your children. If you can do that, then this whole church will come into this simplicity of Christ. If this whole church can come into this simplicity of Christ, then we'll start seeing this whole area evangelized. Because it'll be fun to come to church. What are you going to do this week? I'm going to church. What are you going to do at church? Well, I'm going to pray for people. We're going to praise God. I'm going to give. And all of a sudden, the entire thought changes. The entire spectrum of being a Christian changes into, rather than something that you have to do, into something that you desire to do. The Lord wants us to come into the rest. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the rest a lot. The word there means reposing down, to settle down. Down in place and time. And eventually, if you follow it all the way back to its root meaning, it means to stop. Stop. And the life of a Christian should be a restful life. Not an anxious life. Not a complicated life. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, and this is the passage that I'll be talking about tomorrow night. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says, come, take my yoke upon you, and I will bring... Anybody know the scripture? I will bring rest to your souls. The word rest there means this. It means intermission and recreation. It should be fun. Like, your life should be like recreation. Like, we have the worst volleyball team in the city. The volleyball team that I'm on, I'm not going to tell you who's our coach, but the volleyball team that I'm on has a perfect record. We have not won a game. But I go out there, folks, and I have fun. We go, we've won some. You play three games. We've won some of those, one of those three, but we haven't ever won two out of three with the same team. We go out there, and I have fun. My point is that I have recreation. I just go out there and have fun. And that's pretty much the way my life is. If you know me, you know pretty much that what you see here is pretty much what I am. You know, and the Levite had to put on the ceremonial robes and all the garb and stuff. Now, I do that occasionally just to show you that I can. But they had to put on this garment. They had to wear the hat and all the vestments and all this stuff. And they had to do that. They had to put on their preacher's outfit. Folks, what you see here is pretty much what there is. I don't put on my preacher outfit when I come up here on Sunday. This is my life. I have a life of abundance. I am a blessed man, and I know it. And the life of a Christian should just be that way. A life of fun, a life of recreation, a life of rest. Everything that we do should be abundant and bountiful. And liberal and fun. And when it gets to something else, then we've got another Jesus, another Spirit, or another gospel working on us. So what I'm asking you today is, are you resting in Christianity? Are you resting in Christianity, or are you wrestling with Christianity? Do you truly enjoy being a Christian, doing what Christians do? And if you're not, then probably you've been preached another Jesus. You've been transferred another spirit. You've heard another gospel. Is your life abundant? Are you, and you know that you are, or have been, in one or the other extremes? Very legalistic, and when I teach to you some liberties, they really ruffle your feathers. Are very liberal to the point that it could be sin, and when I teach some legalisms, it ruffles your feathers. Is Christianity simple, or is it complex to you? And this is the type of a message I just wanted to bring. One thing to let you know where I'm at. I think that our walk in the Lord should be fun. Coming to church should be fun. If we ever lose that, if we ever get into we have got to do this and this and this, then we have lost the simplicity of Christ. How many of you agree with what I've said today? Do you agree with this? Amen. Should it be fun? It should be the centrality of our life. Our whole week should evolve around the day of the Lord, the Lord's Day. When we come and we praise and we worship and we make our confessions and we come together and we have the table of the Lord and we're together, we pray for people and we just have fun. Fun serving God. Jesus says, I come to give you life and that abundantly. Set the captives free. Break the yoke of those that are in prison. That's the life He wants us to have. And I want us to chew on this week. Today, this week, and the rest of our lives. And make sure that this is what we really want here. When people come in here to visit us, that's what they see. People enjoying their Christian walk. Not having to do this or not having to do that, but a liberty to come and have fun in their body and in the Christ Jesus that we serve. Do you agree with that? Should that be what people see? I hope that's what they see. I think they do see that for the most part. Until they get in here and they find out that we're like other people, that we do have our little things and our little problems and things like that. But we're coming over them one by one by one. This is a great church, folks. This is a great church. It is a wonderful place to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this to the visitors. The only thing that will make this church better is if God puts you here. Is that right? That's to the visitors. The only thing that will make this church better is if God plants you here with us. You'll make it better. Is this all right, Steve? Should Christianity be fun? Do we want to keep the simplicity that's in Christ? And sometimes when you see me lean into the legal side, just hang with me. I'll balance that thing. If you see me lean into the liberal side or the license side, you think, hang with me. I know where I'm supposed to be. And I'll let the Scriptures be our guide. Amen? It is the light unto my path and the lamp unto my feet. And if you know me, you know that I'm telling you the truth today. If you've been around me much, you know I am a fun guy. I am a fun person. I really am. I have fun. Do I have fun, people? I have fun. I enjoy being a Christian. I wouldn't be anything else. I am glad I'm not a Jewish priest. I'm done. Eula called me the other day. She said, hey, I found out what you do to those kidneys. I had said something a long time back about the kidneys. I said, I don't know what that's for. And she called me with a revelation about the kidneys. I know what to do with the kidneys now. That's the way Christianity should be. It should be fun. Revelation, walking in His light. Let's stand. Father, through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through our calling, through the things that You've called us to do, we want to walk in the simplicity that's of Christ. Father, I bind right now in the name of Jesus any other Jesus being taught here. I bind in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost any other spirit being transferred here. I bind in the name of through the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Ghost, I bind any other gospel being taught here. Anything other than the simplicity of Christ. Father, we believe You have created this church to be an espoused bride, to be presented unto our Lord Jesus Christ, a chaste virgin. And Father, if anything, any serpent comes in here, show him to us, show it to us, and let us put our foot on it and crush its head so that we can present ourselves to it, never eating of the tree of the knowledge of good or evil, but only of the tree of life. We've asked these things. We come to You in the name of Jesus. We've praised You and we worship You today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I hope I see you tonight. Everybody.